Flags.com.
Coming up, Al-Qaeda could be coming to a neighborhood near you soon. 2010 of January, after all, is the designated day to clear out Guantanamo. Now plans are starting to emerge that Leavenworth could be one of the places that the detainees are headed, also to a prison in Michigan as well. We've got the tale of both of those prisons coming up around the bend here on ATN. Also, internationally, if we look at what's happening internationally, Iran in the news, not that it hasn't been in the news for the past, 2 months regarding the elections, because that still hasn't really tapered off a little bit, but the youth movement is alive and well. They call it green power. Now there is more of a push by our government, underground kind of conversations starting to bubble up, that the only way to do this is to really enforce these economic sanctions that have been thrown out there before by the previous administration, but really do it and cut off Iran from the rest of the world when it comes to oil. Here's the deal. Iran has plenty of oil, but they don't have the refinery capacity, so that's what they need coming back to them. Will everybody play this game? And it is a dangerous one, but I think it's time to do something or stop talking about it. Just forget about it. Let Ahmadinejad and Iran do what they want to do and leave it alone, or really put some teeth behind it. And that means there would be risk involved and there would be certainly repercussions to deal with. Would he back down and negotiate? Would he forget the whole nuclear proliferation stance? Of course, he's not saying that. He's saying that, you know, uranium enrichment is for power for us. It's not for nukes, but no one's really buying that from a guy like Ahmadinejad, right? In the meantime, closer to home, taxes could be raised soon. And, of course, why? To pay for the out-of-control deficit that we're seeing. One of the things Obama ran on was the fact that he wouldn't raise taxes, saying specifically during the campaign, you will not see any of your taxes increased one single dime. But the reality of the situation is, how do you overhaul health care? And with this federal deficit where it is, it's got to be paid for somehow. So out and about on the Sunday morning shows, you had two of the financial people in the Obama administration taking to the airways. One of them was Larry Summers, whose title is the National Economic Council Director. He kind of sidestepped the questions on what the administration's ultimate intentions would be about taxes, but he was asked pointedly about a second stimulus. I mean, after all of us know that the first stimulus did not work. Joe Biden let it slip, remember, when he was on Meet the Press weeks and weeks ago, that, hey, we didn't really calculate this, we didn't realize this, and, you know, the typical Biden foot-in-mouth thing, which was then later retracted. So Larry Summers jumps on and talks about the possibility of a second stimulus. Here was his response to David Gregory.
David, our stimulus is going to increase with the passage of time because some of the money that's already spent is going to have an impact with a lag, and because more money is going to be spent going forward, and some of the biggest employment creating projects took some time get started. So the focus for now needs to be on implementing the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, carrying through on that foreclosure relief program, whose numbers will grow rapidly, continuing to support the flow of credit in the economy. We've got the right framework in place. We're seeing results of that framework. The economy is no longer in free fall. Outside observers are looking towards growth. People are speculating about when the recession is going to end rather than about whether it's going to turn into a depression. The priority has to be to go with a plan that's working and implement it as vigorously as possible.
All right, so selling this to the American people is the tough part, right? Because now you're being told, look, things didn't happen exactly, getting them started, all the programs in place and foreclosure relief, et cetera. So if you want the economy to bounce back to grow in the future, you have to understand that you got to bring deficit down. That means we need all of your help. And that means we're going to have to eat our campaign promise and jack up your taxes. How do you feel about that, America? Do you trust that things will turn around so far at this point? From what you've seen, I mean, is this true? Hey, you got to pony up a little coin, a little bit more, whatever the percentage is, because ultimately we'll all get it back in the end. Are you buying that? And, of course, health care is the main tenet of all of this. During the August break, what's going to happen is everybody is going to scramble to get the word out on their side of healthcare. When I say everybody, I mean the politicians. There is definitely two sides in the healthcare reform debate. What's going to happen is the drumbeat is going to go loud for insurance is awful. It's the health insurance industry that is killing us. It was Nancy Pelosi who said, heading into the weekend, the Speaker of the House, that this shock and awe, she called it carpet bombing by the health insurance industry to perpetuate the status quo, has to go. So everybody's going to be out there on all sides of this, including Barack Obama himself, because we're going to have more of these town hall meetings. So what you can expect is the insurance companies are killing everybody. They're burdening the physicians, the nurses, the patients, all of us. So we need to turn this around, and we need your help. So who's on board? Are you on board in listening to what we're going to hear in the next 6 weeks? In the meantime, the GOP has their own strategy, and there's going to be blitzes of radio and television appearances and ads, I think, on both sides of this, arguing that health care is okay, we just need to tweak a few things, and that the Democratic plan isn't going to improve care or control the costs at all. It's only going to hurt us in the end. I think I know where many of you stand, but I always welcome any opinion. 800-259-5791. I'm just going on what we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks. Now, the Democrats' plan would include about $800 billion at least in new tax hikes and then cuts to Medicare. That would mean, and this is scary, to me as somebody who has a grandfather who just turned 93, cuts to Medicare that would result in millions of senior folks losing their health coverage, because they would. There's no question about that. So there would have to be something in place for them. So I'm definitely, and what I have read and what I have heard and people that I have talked to and people we've had on this show, and will continue to do that, because I'll look at all angles of this. But so far, I am so not sold on this. The 1,000 pages of where are we going, where are we headed, and are you willing to pay for this road to nowhere? I'm saying I'm not willing to pay for it. How about you? 800-259-5791. And also, we're going to wrap up the beer summit. Reaction to that, I think finally we can put it all to bed, but I'm going to let you hear something that Barack Obama said about the Reverend Wright, putting it all into context. That's next on America Tonight.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from DJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals for your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a make sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no use when all your lies become your truth.
Coming up, Tiger Woods wins yet another tournament. He's got 69 in his back pocket. Phenomenal, isn't it? All right, here we are in America tonight at a crossroads. When it comes to discussing race relations, why is it that you cannot have an open discussion? In fact, I thought it was brilliant what former Congressman J.C. Watts had to say earlier today. He was also made the Sunday rounds, because people were still talking about the beer summit. And that, of course, was Sergeant Crowley, Professor Gates, and Barack Obama, the president and the vice president, all last Thursday, hashing it out as to what happened with Gates' arrest and subsequent reaction to that and all of that. And what was interesting is what J.C. Watts said is, look, you know, you can't, it's too bad, but as a politician, you can't, politically, it's like suicide. He didn't say the word suicide, but he said, politically, you can't have these discussions. Why is it we can't talk about race relations? Why can't we talk about it in church? Why can't we talk about it if you're in politics? And that, you know, that's what I say. Why can't we talk about it? I mean, all the technological advancements, and he pointed to that, too, that we've made, and the incredible strides that we've made in this country, we can't have open discussions. So now is it, ooh, at the dinner table, you can't talk about politics, religion, or race. You know that old saying about don't bring up politics or religion because it's so divisive with people and they get hysterical and they just can't have a discussion and it gets angry sometimes. So now you have to throw that in there, and it's unfortunate because, if anything, it would have been great to say, okay, so if we're doing this thing here, we don't want it to just be a photo op or whatever. You know, let's open the dialogue. Let's have the dialogue about it then. But I think he's right. That's not the case. So during the show, he had an author on who did a book about America in 2008, and he had an interview. He had one of the interviews with Barack Obama after the whole story broke about Reverend Wright. As many of you point out, well, listen, what's the deal with Barack Obama? Because he was sitting in those pews of Reverend Wright's for how long, and how much was the influence, and what is his influence, and all that other sort of stuff. And it was Glenn Beck last week that came out and shocked a lot of people and said, look, he's a racist. I think he's a racist. And I said, when somebody brought it up on the show, that I really don't feel that Barack Obama is a racist, because there was too many people of different color in his backyard, people who raised him, his white mother, etc. And here's what he had to say in that interview. I wanted everybody to hear it. They played it on the Sunday morning show, Meet the Press, but check this out.
What you had was a moment where all the suspicions and misunderstandings that are embedded in our racial history were suddenly laid bare. One of the experiences that I have as somebody who's got family of all races is a firm recognition that beneath the skin, people are the same. They got same hopes, same dreams. But, you know, there's a different language. There's a different lexicon. And there are real cultural differences.
All right, so you hear what he said there. There's a different language, different cultural differences. And, I mean, that's fair to say, and that, wouldn't anybody agree on that? So let's hope moving forward, can we all get beyond this? Is it possible to get beyond this with the amazing strides that we make in America? I mean, it's not fair that we've now had this term called reverse discrimination. And why? Because it's true. So there are many people that feel, and I do too, affirmative action went too far to the other side. So what does that create? It creates resentment. And then we go back to the dark ages. So why can't there be open dialogue? I don't understand it. Like somebody said one time when they called the show, I mean, we're Americans, right? So if we're all Americans, shouldn't we want to lift each other up? Shouldn't we want to help our fellow American? After 9/11, and because I lived in New York, New Jersey, I saw this. People, New Yorkers have this thing where people will say, New Yorkers aren't that friendly, which I disagree with that. But after 9/11, man, and I traveled a lot. Everywhere I went, people were just so great to each other. Not fake and phony and, you know, accolades to people you didn't know. Just genuinely just nicer. But then gradually that, of course, has gone away as we've gotten further away from 9/11. So maybe that's just a little reminder, I think, of that. So for what it's worth, that's my 2 cents on the end of the beer summit. I think Sergeant Crowley, it wasn't right. It wasn't right what Obama said. He opened that up. It wasn't right to say that the police acted stupidly because, you know, I don't want to go down that territory again, but he didn't know all the facts of what had happened there, and there was a much better way to handle it. But maybe something comes out of this that could be positive. Imagine that, instead of just a photo op. Sadly and cynically, I think it just becomes a photo op. Hey, coming up, we got something really interesting that Matt Johnson pointed out to me. It happened to be a story that they put in the New York Post. And the story was really by Craig Ferguson, and his explanation why everything sucks. Pardon me saying everything sucks, but what the deal is, and I said this before, why is it that in this country, older people aren't put in better positions? I just don't understand how people are, I don't want to say abusive, but maybe abusive in a neglectful sort of way. Why, in Japan, which is my best example, because I've seen it, in Japan, older people are so much revered. And I think of when I was a kid, how I can remember in my head how many times I went to see both of my great grandmothers, because I was lucky enough to have two great grandmothers alive, and it was so awesome to go. I'm not trying to get all sappy, but it's so awesome to go and see them because I learned things from them, things I had no idea, that there was a farm and there was chickens, and you know, I only saw cement because I lived in a big city. I knew nothing about the history of my family and learned so much about what they did and who served in the wars and who did what. And I never got tired of that, even when I was a teenager. And, you know, it's, I certainly did everything a teenager does, but I always made time for my grandparents. And I just don't understand why more people don't value older folks. So coming up, we're going to let you hear that, what Craig Ferguson said. We have the actual audio of it, but the piece was put in the New York Post, and he talks about advertising and Madison Avenue and the decision to sell products to younger people and selling them, you know, so that they'll buy things their whole lives and all that kind of thing. I'm not going to take his words from him. I'm going to let you hear some of that. But ultimately, did it harm us in some sort of way? It's like the whole plastic surgery deal. I think you should do anything that you want to do to make yourself feel better. Whether you're in the gym and you're lifting hundreds of pounds of weight, or you're doing Botox because you like it, it makes you feel better, it makes you feel younger, you want it. But there is that push, and I don't know how people do it when they live in Los Angeles. Boy, because you get to a certain age in Los Angeles, I can't imagine how difficult it would be to be in some neighborhoods and in some circles the way you would be judged. So you see so many, I'll just point to women, I'm sure men do it too, but you see so many women where their face is pulled back. And what about the wrinkles that show something about your history? I just don't understand it. But like I said, I certainly respect anyone's right to do whatever makes them feel better. And if it is the plastic surgery thing, then have at it. And with this administration, you better have more money to pay for it, because it's been thrown out there that they could put a 10% tax on procedures like that to help pay for health care reform. So if you're trying to make yourself look younger and feel better, you're going to have to pay that much more on top of what you think you already have to pay, giving you pause and reason to maybe think about it a little bit more. Anyway, that Craig Ferguson stuff coming up next, round the bend here on ATN.
As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Night host, so I think he's very clever and comes up with a lot of good monologues and a lot of good bits and whatnot on his show. And there's a lot of decent competition now in the late night entries with Jimmy Fallon, Conan O'Brien. I don't know how he's doing. I've seen a couple of clips that look funny, but I haven't seen all of these shows at length because, of course, we're on the air. And with everything else that we're doing, that's the re-rack of those shows would take too long for me, but I've seen bits and pieces of it. And here's something that Craig Ferguson that I was just talking about that he did in talking about the youth culture in this country, and let's let it roll.
I figured that out. I figured it out. What? I'll tell you. Everything. Why everything sucks. Here's why. In the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, a bunch of advertising guys got together in Madison Avenue and decided that what they were trying to do was sell products to younger people. They thought we should try and sell products to younger people because then they'll buy things their whole life. So they'll try and sell them soft drinks or bread or cigars or whatever the hell they were selling them. And they thought we'll try and appeal to young people. It was just an advertising thing. They didn't mean any harm by it. It's just a little bit of market research. And so they did that and they told the television companies and the movie companies and the record companies companies. Everybody started targeting the youth because the youth was the place where you were going to be able to sell things. And what happened was that in a strange kind of quirk of fate, youth began to be celebrated by society in a way that it had never been in any time in human history, because what used to be celebrated was experience and cleverness. But what happened was that what became valuable was youth, the quality of youth, which made you a consumer. So what happened is that they started concentrating on these people. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, but wait a minute, Craig, in ancient Greece, they deified the youth. No, they didn't. They deified beauty. Ah, different, right? So what happened is youth became more important and became more important and became more important. And society started to turn on its head, because with the deification of youth, youth has a byproduct. The byproduct of youth is inexperience. By the nature of having youth, you don't have any experience. You're too young to have it. It's not your fault. But you're youth, too, you're young, and you're kind of stupid. So they sell you stuff, right? So therefore, the deification of youth began, but the deification of youth didn't stop there. The deification of youth kind of evolved and turned into the deification of imbecility. So it became fashionable and desirable to be young and to be stupid. And it started to be a fashion, and that grew and that grew and that grew and that grew. And now that's what all the kids want to be. I just want to be young and stupid. But you know what? That's not what you want to be. You don't want to be that. Don't be young and stupid. Look. And then what happened is that people were frightened to not be young. They didn't want to not be young. They didn't want to get older, so they started dyeing their hair. They started mutilating their faces and their bodies in order to look young. But you can't be young forever. That's against the laws of the universe. And all of this horrible quirk and this terrible movement, nobody meant it. Nobody meant any harm. But now we're in this terrible place where we have the... Ooh la la! Jonas Brother!
All right. You got to give him credit for that. It was pretty clever, pretty well done. It was just what I was talking about, that it's a shame to not give any credence to older people. Of course, the youth are the future, so you want to embrace younger people as well. But certainly there is no reason to toss out the older people, which is a lot of the concern of the health reform. What happens to Medicare slashing that? There are so many people. You got the baby boomers that are jumping into this fray that are going to be there waiting to see what happens and scared to death. It all goes into that same thing. It gets rolled into the same pile of, okay, the 401k lost money. Now I'm retirement age. How am I going to live off this? You know, it's all connected. All the dots are connected. I mentioned this earlier, that it is Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, and how much I enjoy Shark Week. Maybe I shouldn't reveal all this. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We're going to have Fred Barnett on the show next week, and he's written a book called Shark Stories, and it's about all those real-life attacks. I mean, some of them didn't end tragically. People got away from the sharks and ended up maybe with some stitches, in some cases worse than others. But there is a fascination, I think, that we have with those creatures, whether you're afraid to go in the water too deep, or you realize that, geez, even in shallow water, you could be the victim of a shark attack. But statistically, if you look at the numbers, they're not really there. It's that same old thing about there's more of a chance that you'll get hit by a car than bitten by a shark. I do have to say that while I was in Maui, and many of you heard me broadcasting on some of the nights from Maui, since I was in the water, I am a water person, I was in the water and went to a place called Malakini Crater, and I was out there off the boat, it did kind of cross my mind. Okay, what do I do if there is a shark encounter? I don't think it's likely. And sure enough, there was a reef shark that was out there when we were out there. And reef sharks are not predatory. They're not going to, it's not like a great white by any stretch of the imagination or a hammerhead. But it is a little freaky to see the shark pretty close to you. Let's ask the man from 10,000 Lakes, Matt Johnson. Matt, have you ever seen a shark up close and personal?
I have actually swam with a shark before, but not not Jaws style great white shark. But when I was down in Mexico, I swam with a. Now I don't even know if it was. It was one of the smaller ones. I like picked it up and held it, and it was in like this little swimming area that you could go swim with it in the ocean. And now I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it was a tiger shark.
It wasn't a bull shark, was it?
Wrong. I don't know. It was one of the smaller ones. It was only like...
Sand shark?
Something like that. It was only like four feet at most.
Wow, 4 feet at most. So it was a program where they let you swim with it, you're telling
right.
me. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, it was one of the wimpy sharks. It wasn't, you know, not swimming with Jaws or anything like that, you know, with any great threat to me at all. You know, my sister was there too, and she held it with me, and so yeah. But it was you know, a neat experience and everything. But that's the closest I've come to the shark life, I guess. But it wasn't, you know, your typical shark.
Yeah, and you know, people don't. Here's the thing: there's in California, people know if they're listening in California or people have been to California. I used to live there, so in the Pacific is much colder. And what happens sometimes is that you have the surfers in the wetsuits, and and then them paddling, they look like seals to the sharks. So you would hear of attacks, and a lot of times it was simply wrong place, wrong time, and the shark doesn't, I mean, they see something that looks like a seal, and then they make a move, and then it ends up tragically for...
Bummer, dude.
They just go for it. Remember the young girl, and this happened in Hawaii. She was 13 years old, and she's surfing, and she's still surfing. Credit to her, she had her arm bit off by a shark. She made the television rounds and whatnot, if you remember. But she was surfing, and I guess whatever, the shark got her arm, was able to get a hold of her arm, and now she's still surfing, just without the use of the one arm. She might have a prosthetic arm now, and I don't know if she uses that in surfing. But
that's pretty brave of her to go back out there and
I think it is. I mean, what does that tell you about somebody? I mean, that is courage. Like,
especially,
you know,
that young and getting traumatized, you'd think. You know, being out in the water and getting bit by a shark, having your arm ripped off, and then, you know, just like, whatever, I'm going out there, I'm going to keep doing it.
Right, because it's that old saying about getting back on the horse. You know, you fall off the horse, you get back on it. And in that case, though, to the extreme, the thought of the shark, and they friends saw what happened and saw the shark come up, and of course nobody could help her. It was just one of those freak things. But the fact that she just shrugged it off, and you could even tell when she was on the various shows that she made the rounds on, like, you know, the Today Show, whatever, when she talked to whoever it was, Matt Lauer, she was just undaunted by the whole thing. And you think, wow, that's serious courage, bravery, that she doesn't care. I mean, this is what she does. She grew up in the water. She knows the sharks are there. Because they have a thing that they do with the people fearing sharks. A bowl of fin soup, shark fin soup, is like $50. And they have a thing called finning. And what happens is you have fishermen from different parts of the world that will cut off the fins of the shark, and then of course they die because they can't swim without their fins, but to them it's valuable because they sell them for the soup. So there's a big movement afoot to stop the finning, you kind of like the whales, protect the whales. And I didn't realize just how big it was. It's big in the Asian culture. When you're in like China, Japan, etc., I guess there are places where you can get this fin soup at $50 for it. So you can imagine they have enough fins that they're selling, and there's enough of a market for it that, you know, these sharks are dying. The population is dying. And what people also don't realize, as scary as it is, and when you watch Shark Week and you hear these things, but they also tell you some of the gentler sharks and also talk about the system where if you take the sharks out of the equation and the spinning continues, how much it'll destroy ocean life, which ultimately does and can affect all of us. All right, on the flip side, Tiger Woods wins yet another golf tournament. Sports Shorts next here on America Tonight.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
Here with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight. We like to get you up to date on what's happening in the sports world and lighten the load, although it's not always a lighten the load moment. So many, you almost have to be an attorney anymore to decipher what's happening in sports between steroid use and guys getting in trouble. But there are some great moments that happen each and every week, including Tiger Woods again winning at the Buick Open. I mean, he is like the man of steel. There is just a difference, I think, between his mentality and what he is able to do versus the mere mortals that play against Tiger Woods. And he had that innately in him, I think, when he was younger, that whole will to win, kind of like Roger Federer is the same kind of guy in tennis. And we've seen many athletes that just have this thing, this quality, and he definitely has it. I mean, what does he do with his trophies, I wonder? So he shoots a 69 on Sunday. He gets a three-shot win, and it was like 20 under to win the Buick Open, 69th win on the PGA Tour. He's going to shatter all golf records. Trust me. I didn't realize this statistic, but he is 36-1 when he has the outright lead after 54 holes. 36-1. He's had four wins this season, so that doubles all the other competitors. And this is in just 11 starts, remember this, since returning from knee surgery. Here's what Tiger Woods had to say.
Well, it was incredible today. I mean, the fans were just so enthusiastic. I mean, all week. I mean, but today was certainly special. I mean, everyone was just so jacked up for us to play and see what we could do today. I mean, the guys made the golf course, you know, accessible today. You know, and moved out a couple tees, and you know, it certainly could be had this morning. There was very little wind, but this afternoon to play a little bit trickier, but still, you could still shoot a good number today, you just had to be patient out there, but also stay very focused because there were certainly a lot of distractions out there. I got fooled a few times on the wind today, which is I hit good shots and got fooled, which is fine. But also, I made some bad swings too. But I hung in there and just grinded my way around. Well, it's just obviously nice to come back after only playing 2 days over in Europe. had two more days of practice to get ready for this event, which is nice. But no, it's always nice to win a golf tournament, and then heading into these two big weeks certainly give you a little bit of momentum.
All right, so he says he has the momentum, but doesn't he always have the momentum? I started thinking about this with the 69 wins and his age in his early 30s. You know, no kidding, this guy could win 100 golf tournaments. And what do you think the number of golf tournaments will be in the end? If you were taking a future bet on this, how many would he win? I say it's got to be at least 90. Honestly, 100 is not out of bounds for him, which is phenomenal. He'll set that bar so high, I don't know how anyone, and certainly not in my lifetime or many of yours, will be able to hit that again. It's so tough with the qualifying and how many people are great golfers. I mean, look around at your own buddies or people you know that might even be just hacker golfers, but they're really good. To qualify to get on the PGA Tour, you have to be beyond scratch. And it's how many rounds and just trying to get that card. And week after week, you see different faces that are winning. Like I just said, he doubled all the competitors' wins with four this year. So I think 100 is not out of bounds. Matt, what do you think for Tiger Woods? How many tournaments do you think he wins when it's all said and done?
Well, he's already got pretty 69. Much 70.
Yeah.
And how old is he? Like, what, 30? Like, 31? Or is it 30?
32,
okay. So you got to figure he's probably going to play competitively as far as, like, just the regular tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who was it that was it just at the British Open was almost won it? Ben Watson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's like in his 60s.
Oh no, Tom Watson.
Oh, Tom Watson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you figure, you know, he's got at least 15 more years of like pretty good prime golf, I'd say, before he starts maybe declining. And no
sure.
one else is really stepping up to challenge him at all. That's the other thing. There's nobody. It's like you got Tiger, and then there's a big drop off.
Phil
and then
Mickelson,
you go
but
Phil
yeah.
and like some other guys, but there's nobody mm-hmm. like. You can say it's like every week it's going to be Tiger or this guy. It's Tiger and then these like three or four other guys who may be there and then like the rest of the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I mean, he might have a chance to, I don't know if he'd double that number. I don't think he'd get to like, you know, 140. That'd be outrageous. But I think he could definitely get to at least 100.
I think at least 100 too. And it wouldn't be outrageous if he were to hit 140, that would be beyond phenomenal. I mean, already he's already that guy. He is, and think of athletes, and think of the great athletes of all time, your Babe Ruth, your Michael Jordan's, Tiger Woods. And the thing about Jordan and Tiger Woods is they transcended their sport. They were so incredible at what they did that you could go almost anywhere in the world. You wouldn't even have to brush up against a sports fan. And you had a good chance of them knowing who they were, and Tiger is that person. If you know nothing about golf, you have definitely heard his name. So it'll just be interesting to see where he ends up. He's, of course, already in the Golf Hall of Fame, And like I said, he's going to shatter so many records. There's one record I think that he won't, and that's the great Byron Nelson, who I had a chance to get to know a little bit while he was still alive and feel still to this day so honored to have sat down and talked to him and spent some time with him. But he won 11 consecutive tournaments in a row, 11. And I do not think that that will ever be broken. But other than that one, I'm going to say almost everything else will fall probably to Tiger in the end. Speaking of falling, another sports shorts note here. You know, you've got training camps opened in the NFL, and there's been a lot made of Lendale White and his weight loss for the Titans. He is, I mean, obviously, he's amazing. He's in his fourth training camp with them. He lost 30 pounds, and how he did it, this is what's interesting. He said he was a big Patron consumer, tequila. And what he did is he just drank, he said, I drank too much alcohol. He didn't say he was alcoholic, but he said, I drank too much alcohol and it's fattening. So I cut it out. I just stopped drinking for 6 months, and he lost 30 pounds. That is amazing. He said occasionally he'll have a glass of wine, but that's it. And so now I wonder how good he's going to be this year. He led the AFC with 15 touchdowns on the ground rushing, and he tied for third overall in the NFL in scoring among non-kickers. So this could be a really good year for him. It's certainly he's coming to camp much thinner. And, Matt, I'll ask you about this. Of course, now Michael Vick, for some reason, there was a rumor started that he was going to end up going to the Patriots. And, of course, the Patriots say, no, thank you. We don't need Michael Vick. We've got Tom Brady. So forget about that. There's been rumors about the Vikings, naturally, since Brett Favre from last week said, forget about it. He's not going to the Vikings. And now you have T-Jack, who's out with a sprained MCL. So any rumors kicking up in Minnesota about that possibility? I don't think it'll happen, but is it kicking up again?
No, not really. There was, like, I think it was Chris Myers on Fox Sports Radio had some rumor going out about it, and then it was quickly squashed. And ever since then, there's been no mention of it at all. And T-Jack, it's just a grade 1 MCL sprain, so he's supposed to be back in a couple days. It's not a huge deal, and I don't think, just with this ownership, as I said, you know, last week, the Wilfs, I don't think, would ever take the chance of going out and getting Michael Vick and possibly taking that PR hit. And I hear they're apparently huge dog lovers as well, so it probably won't happen. I've heard something this week, though. I think it was just today that Carolina Panthers might be interested. So
yeah, I heard the same thing about the Panthers, but it's going to be a tough decision if somebody decides to pick up Vick. I still think he has the arm, but again, it's the whole perception thing, and if someone's willing to make the leap and, you know, what they would do with him, it would have to be a massive PR campaign naturally. And it's a good time to remember that we do Nail the Score coming up. Remember, when football season kicks off and it's your chance to win some fabulous prizes, you don't have to know anything about sports. We just have the game of the week, and you pick the winner and tell us what you think the final score will be. Something to look forward to here on America Tonight.